I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Next listener, Tom, says that they need a hardy foundation plant behind a Sundance daisy that gets 2 to 3 feet tall in a south exposure.
So they want the foundation plant to get that big?
Yeah, something that's going to be planted close to the foundation that's going to be behind a Sundance daisy.
So Sundancer daisy is a native, but it looks, the flowers look like a little yellow daisy or marigold that blooms the entire summer.
Wow.
And it doesn't get out of hand. And so it's one that people should probably plant more.
Write it on my list.
Yeah, Sundancer daisy.
So, okay.
But a foundation plant behind it, there's all sorts of things they could do. I like the combination of yellow and purple. So
maybe the
purple coneflowers we discussed.
Would they be tall enough?
The purple coneflowers, the Sundancer only gets a foot tall most.
Oh, this says 2 to... Oh, they want the plant that they're going to plant to be 2 to 3.
And
oh,
so I'm thinking purple coneflowers would be one that they could use because you're kind of sticking with that water-wise theme. I think the hibiscus would be pretty that we talked about, but the hibiscus are not super drought hardy. Now, they will survive on being watered a couple times a week, but something with that kind of purpley, pinky look to it really combines well with that yellow color of the Sundancer daisy.
Okay, so there's two options. Next person says they have an autumn blaze maple that isn't growing well. What can they do to help it?
Autumn blaze maples just traditionally have problems here. They're better than some trees, but not really.
But once it's planted.
I get that. So they need to make sure that it's deep watered. Hopefully it's not in the lawn, and they can deep water it at least once a week to a depth of around 18 inches. Then they're probably going to need to treat it with chelated iron in the spring, and something like Miller Ferroplus or Growmore chelated iron, you should be paying $20 to $25 a pound for the iron you're using to treat it to see if you can help it.
But they have to wait till spring, they can't do
it. Yeah, right now is not the greatest time. You're not getting a lot of growth in the tree because it's so hot, and so that iron isn't really absorbed well and transported up to the leaves. The best time to put the iron down is in mid to late March or early April.
Next listener is in West Orem. They want to know if Bermuda grass is drought tolerant and is it a good option?
Well, it's drought tolerant, but it's against a lot of plant it.
Okay.
So
because it takes over?
It's very invasive.
Ah.
And so I think it is just strangely ironic that we push buffalo grass as being our go-to drought-tolerant lawn grass, because I've seen buffalo can be quite aggressive too, but Bermuda, especially the old-fashioned pasture varieties, will take over a Kentucky bluegrass lawn. And so the state has put it on the noxious weed list, making it against a lot of plant, except for Washington County, to where it's decriminalized. And so if you're caught with Bermuda grass in Washington County, they're going to let you go. So there is a company called High Country Garden selling what they're calling dog tough turf, which is a hybrid Bermuda, which isn't specifically listed on the noxious weed list. And so it's ambiguous.
They won't come arrest us for that one.
No, it's ambiguous on if that particular type, because it's hybrid, is actually against the law. But in general, Bermuda grass lawns are a no-no everywhere in Utah but Washington County.
Okay, I was poking fun. They would never arrest us. They would just cite us. Right?
Yes, they would cite us. It's a fine. And they would probably just tell you that you need to get rid of it if you planted it.
Next listener just wants us to know that there are nice peaches this morning at the South Jordan Farmers Market.
Thank you. There's Gardner's Markets. There's just one down the road from us. There are several of them across the Wasatch Front and into Cache Valley today that you will be able to find really good locally ripened peaches.
Yeah, they also say they felt that boom earlier today at 8:30, and they said it was weird and kind of scary. And again, we are working to confirm exactly what that was. Let's go to the phone lines. Timothy is on the line in Provo. Good morning, Timothy. What is your question?
Yes, I have three peach trees. Those, all three of them are different peaches. But last year, the one peach tree that I had, we waited till the fruit got soft, and the peaches were not sweet at all. So I'm wondering if there was too much water, not enough water. This was last year, because I have peaches in the backyard on my two trees in the backyard, and I'm wondering if there's a time where you stop watering so the sugars become concentrated in the fruit. Is that a question that can be answered?
That's a no-no, actually. Is your radio on in the background?
My radio? I'm talking through my car.
Okay, I thought we had an echo for a minute, and sometimes that's the radio that does that. So you don't stop watering peaches. You know, it's not okay. Like some things. And so those peaches, are they in your lawn or in a separate orchard area?
In the front yard. Yeah, actually all three of them are in my front yard.
In the lawn.
I'm only watering twice a week in the front yard, and I'm not watering at all except I'm watering the plants, the trees individually, because I'm not watering the lawn in my backyard.
So every other week, I would get a hose and sprinkler on the days you're allowed to water and just soak under those peaches with a hose and sprinkler on that day so you can drive water deeper.
Okay.
And that should help
I did
out.
That today.
Yeah, may be a little late in the season, but you do that throughout from May through October, you know, September, October, because those peaches need to be deep watered every 7 to 10 days. And where they're getting lawn water, you'd cut that back to maybe every 14. But to have good quality peaches, they do require regular watering. And just the fact that attests to that, if you go to some of our orchards in Box Elder County or down in southern Utah County where they water every 7 to 10 days, they never have problems with bland off-flavored peaches.
Okay. Well, good. All right. I'll just water. Thank you.
Yeah, don't drown them, but every other week, give them an extra supplement to drive water deeper into the soil.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, is now a good time to plant English laurel, or should they wait till later or next spring? Also, any pointers for success in planting it?
It's fine time to plant. Just make sure that it's being watered. The trick with English laurel and other broadleafed evergreen shrubs are to get them in afternoon shade. So they need to be on the east or north side of a building or under trees that will give them afternoon shade. In the sun, in the winter, the sun can shine on them, and then because the ground is frozen, they can't get enough water out of the ground in the winter. And so the leaves scorch. And so they do need that winter protection.
Next listener lives in the Avenues, and they say they've had a lot of grasshoppers. And first year that they've noticed that, destroying all the low annuals. But they want to know, any suggestions on fall flowers that are perennials?
Yes, there's a few out there. Two of my favorite are the upright sedums or upright stone crops. They're the same plant. But like an autumn joy stone crop, those will get a couple feet high and wide and bloom from August through October. And they're quite water wise and very sun tolerant. So that would be one. And for shaded areas, one of my absolute favorite are the fall blooming anemones. They take a few years to really get established, but they'll also bloom even though they are not related to daisies. They look a little bit like a daisy, and they'll bloom from August through October also.
Next listener says they have an elephant ear planted in a large pot on a drip line. It's growing well, but gets brown around the edges. What's going on?
Probably just summer heat scorch. Those are not adapted to 100 plus degree temperatures. And they're not adapted to low humidity. And so between the two, sometimes they'll scorch around the edges a bit.
Mm-hmm. We were still getting callers who were asking about that boom that occurred about 8:30. It was pretty widespread, felt widespread across the Wasatch Front, and we continue to work to confirm whatever that was. At this point, we're thinking it was a sonic boom, but Hill Air Force Base has not confirmed that that's what it was. I'm just still amazed at how widespread that was, that people felt it, like as far north as Ogden,
yeah, and as
down
fast
to Lehigh,
as it moved,
Rockport,
yeah, it
Magna.
Had to have been something like that, to where it was felt in almost a straight line. And so, I don't know, Dave was mentioning if that was a sonic boom, maybe somebody's in trouble because we're not supposed to be having those overpopulated areas.
Well, we will find out and get that confirmed for you. But again, we are still checking to see what that was. A number to call with your questions, and the phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. Taking your calls, taking your questions by text at 57500. And our reporter is still looking into what that big boom was that everyone heard across the Wasatch Front at about 8:30. Let's go back to our phone lines. Jared waiting patiently. Good morning, Jared. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. So I planted a 10-foot tall bur oak in the spring, and the lady at the nursery told me to deep soak it every day, and so I've been doing that. And well, I did that at first, but then some of the leaves started turning brown, and I wondered if it was just like planting shock maybe. So now I've been watering it maybe once every 3 days, like a deep soak, and it's got some new buds coming in, which is a good sign, some new leaves. But the tips of the leaves kind of turn brown. And my question is, am I watering it too much, too little? How do I know?
You know, 2 to 3 times a week is about right for what you're doing, depending
okay.
on your soil. In a sandy soil, you may need to kick it up to 4 times a week. In a really heavy clay, it may be twice a week. And so a lot of it depends on the temperature and the soil type, but that average 2 to 3 times a week is okay. So the oak, because it's brand new, may have developed some leaf scorch because of just the hot summer, and it's not completely established into the soil. And even though the soil has moisture in it, it doesn't have the root mass to take up enough water, so it scorches. The other thing that could have happened, that watering it every day is actually not a recommendation I would give out. Because even over a couple of weeks, you could really harm the tree by rotting the roots.
Hmm. Okay. So if I, and then my second question is, if I was told to dig like 2 inches down to see that I'm letting the soil dry out, how, like, what consistency does the soil have? Like, it's wet enough for me to still like ball it up, but it's not like soaking wet. Is that drying it out?
If you cannot squeeze water out of it, that's a point that you can maybe consider rewatering. And you might even go down 6 inches if it's a larger
okay.
tree, because the top 3 or 4 inches can be pretty dry. But if you go down even further, you'll find that there's more moisture 6 inches or a foot down. And so I think that once you figure out, you know, in the middle of the summer, 90, 95 degrees, I'm going to have to water twice a week for 4 or 5 minutes or with so many gallons of water. But I would dig deeper and do not water it daily.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, is it too late to cut out apple tree water sprouts?
A few of them are fine, but yeah, it is getting a little late. In August, I don't like to do a lot of pruning, and then the cutoff is September. And there's just this old adage in the horticulture world saying don't prune in any month that ends in R.
Jean is standing by in Sandy. Good morning, Jean. What is your question?
Good morning. I have burning bush along my driveway, which also is along my neighbor's driveway, south facing, so it gets a lot of sun. And they just, you know, they've never done that well, but they're doing worse. And they're older. Some have died out and I've replaced. But I'm just thinking this isn't the bush for me. And I'm wondering if you have a suggestion to keep them going or a different bush that might have that nice red fall color.
Well, they are the only ones that have that really intense fall color. And to keep them going, they need to be watered once established at least once a week to a depth of 18 inches. And they need to be fertilized in the spring with something like triple 16 to keep the nutrient levels up. And so a lot of times if they're left to their own devices, they can struggle. You'll get a line of 10 of them that look great, and all of a sudden two of them die. And so fertilizing them seems to prevent that.
Okay, I will try that. And then if you have time, I lost part of my backyard grass. I over-fertilized it, which was wrong. And then with the drought last summer, we didn't water as much. So I literally have a whole patch of dirt. And I thought I could get some of that kind of compost soil and get it level and then overseed. I'm wondering, is that the correct thing to do? And is there a blend of seed that you would recommend?
Well, if you're going to just cover up your lawn, you would need a good 6 inches of soil to really allow the new grass to, you can't just cover it with an inch and then expect it to go. And
right.
So that
yeah.
old grass, you either need to water it and see if it'll come back or get rid of it and then reseed. The other thing you do is aerate really heavily in the spring and fall for a couple of years and just keep reapplying grass seed in the spring and fall to see if you can reestablish it like that.
Okay, and is there a blend? The grass that I have is kind of more like a clump grass. It's, you know, when you walk on it, it's lumpy. It's not a nice, even
yeah.
walk.
It may be that it's done that because it's a fescue or a ryegrass, and it just the lack of water causes those to do that. So I would go in with a Kentucky bluegrass mix and maybe with a little rye in it. And you can pick those up from local garden centers, you know, Granite Seed in Lehigh, IFA, Steve Regan, all will carry grass seeds. But I would go with an 80% bluegrass, 20% rye mix. And most garden centers and farm stores will carry a blend.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Thanks, Jane, for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, can they trim their new feelers or growth from their large tams, or do they need to wait till spring?
Wait till spring and look up some videos on pruning juniper, because if you don't know what you're doing, over 4 or 5 years, you can cut them back till they're just dead. So, but wait till probably mid-May, let the new growth come out, and then you trim off about 30 to 40% of the new growth. If you need to take branches out, go in toward the middle of the bush and just take the branch out from the middle.
Okay. And we are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, it'll be our WaterWise Tip at 10. And today we are going to be talking about mulch. And again, we are still trying to confirm what did cause that boom that was felt across the Wasatch Front today. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.